This episode of Pitch Shift contains discussion and depiction of homophobia, transphobia, and transmisogyny, as well as discussion of recent violence towards transgender people of colour. If these are sensitive issues for you, please take care listening to the episode. Stay safe, and remember, TERFs ain't got no friends. So, last week... Okay. We're going to do this. Last week, after several months of liking transphobic tweets and then letting her publicist deflect by calling them senior moments.
Yeah, that her thumb just accidentally found the transphobic tweet heart button.
Yeah, yeah. You know when your thumb finds the transphobic tweet?
Yeah, you know button? That. You know that ad for the beer where his tongue like crawled out of his mouth to find the good beer? It was her thumb crawling out of her hand to find the transphobic tweets to
find the turfdom. Yeah, no. So you know, J.K. Rowling finally has revealed the point of all of her research into the world of thinking that trans people are evil. It's that she thinks trans people are evil.
Oof! What a finding.
So her new book is called The Ichabod. I can confirm that the titular monster, the Ichabod, does eat children, but only if they roam in groups of teenage transgenders, for which the collective noun is surprisingly a coven.
Oh, what about covens of transgenders who are over 18 or perhaps in their 20s?
Oh, well,
I'm just worried about losing you.
Yeah, no, well, they are. I am here to bully and silence her.
Oh, no.
That's what so the transgender
teens... But
TERF teens,
is a slur meant to silence her.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The transgender teens, because as you well know, if more than one person in a group of friends is trans, it's because they've been, you know, bamboozled by the vicious trans activists.
Transboozled.
Yeah.
Like, as a cis person, the only thing I can contribute to this whole thing is puns.
Yeah.
That I will deliver.
TY. If this is all going over your head and you're listening to this, congrats for having better things to do than be on Twitter all the time. Basically, J.K. Rowling has, for the past 6 months or so, been kind of showing in implicit ways that she agrees with trans exclusionists, that trans women are not women, and that their inclusion is, as such, a threat to quote-unquote natal women and girls. That's her word,
natal.
Not mine.
Oof, natal. Don't like that.
Yeah. But, you know, it is Pride Month, so she made the brave decision to remove the mask and come out as a full-on trans-hating, rapist-in-the-bathroom fear-mongering, statistic-falsifying, I-have-trans-friends-touting, all-singing, all-dancing, all-round, out-and-proud transphobe. So the thing is that it's not really that surprising from the writer who brought you Dumbledore is Gay, but brought you the reason why Dumbledore couldn't fight Grindelwald's not because they used to fuck, but actually because they made the world's most powerful friendship bracelet.
Yeah.
But of course, part of the reason why she made the brave decision to come out against trans people, it's such a wild thing to just, like, saying it out loud is like, but anyway,
you're really
going to
hoist your own petard here.
Yeah. Part of her reasoning is she wants to protect the gays, because if you erase the idea of sex, of biological sex, then there's no such thing as same-sex attraction. Mm. And that's not how anything works.
Okay,
and that's not...
So this is a thing I have with Pauline Hanson too, where it's like, you're against this thing for this thing, but did you know people can be both? Like, I'm convinced no one's told Pauline Hanson that Indonesia exists, because if you're like, Pauline, there is a nation and it is full of Asians, a lot of whom are also Muslim, like she would actually self-combust. So the idea of being like, I don't believe in the transes because gays exist. It's like, what if I told you?
What if
a lot of trans people also a
bit
gay. It's almost like engaging with questioning of what gender actually means that you're not stuck in a binary of sexual attraction anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's like you could see it as the radical transes are trying to erase your identity, which I don't know where you're getting that from because no one's saying that. Or you could see it as like, hey, you have an opportunity to be like liberated from certain ideas about sex and gender and attraction. And it's like, yeah, hey, maybe we could all be a little bit more liberated if we get on board with the trans thing. But no.
You don't need no ticket. Just get on board.
We're trying to step on women. That's what we're trying to do.
Especially trans women. Like, they're the ones who really want to step on women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those trans women, they hate women.
They got that privilege coming out
there. Those women hating trans women.
Like,
they hate women. Like, I just, yeah. But, like, to be entirely serious, and, like, part of the reason why I'm pitching the pitch that I'm going to pitch today is...
Oh, yeah, this is also a film music podcast.
Yeah, I mean,
this,
I didn't even...
If this is your first time here, oh, wow.
Welcome to Pitch Shift. We are a J.K. Rowling critical podcast. It's like a gender critical podcast, only it's just J.K. Rowling. Indeed, the trans are trying to erase gender, but just J.K. Rowling's gender.
J.K. Congrats, Rowling has Robert herself Galbraith. Been like...
Welcome to the team.
That's the thing, though. She was like, oh, if I was a kid, maybe I would have transitioned. It's like, if you're thinking that, J.K., I've got some news.
Here's a secret, guys. Most cis people don't think that. Yes. Yeah, no. So, yes, this is Pitch Shift. It's a podcast where we
turn
we
songs into films.
Based on songs. And this week, the song I am pitching today is Against Me's I Was a Teenage Anarchist. Against Me, obviously, fronted by Laura Jane Grace, who is a rad fucking gay trans lady.
She's that twofer. Yeah. She got them both going on.
Yeah, she got that gay and she got that trans. Mm. And she got that anarchy as well. Read all the authors, I knew the Russogans. There was a war. Yeah, so that's what I'm pitching today. And to give a bit of context to this pitch, obviously we've been talking about J.K. Rowling's manifesto. This is a funny jokes podcast. We do the funny jokes.
We do the funny jokes. We do the pop culture references. We have also previously done a Harry Potter different part of the universe pitch.
Yes.
Like we have previously done Harry Potter fan fiction, essentially.
Yeah. But yes, not to bring the mood down a little bit, but like this whole like J.K. Rowling's whole thing and the swathe of people who've come out of the woodwork after that has kind of been, is really kind of one of the more terrifying and infuriating and wrong-headed movements of anti-trans speech that I personally have experienced in a little while.
Yeah.
Which kind of did surprise me because I'd been operating under the assumption that she was like transphobic in that way where she's well-meaning but out of touch and dumb.
Hmm.
but no, it turns out that she's, you know, fully the kind of person who's like, if we let trans women into women's bathrooms, men might use that to pretend to be trans so they can do
crimes.
But which, like, you know, as you probably all know, rapists, real sticklers for only raping in spaces that they're legally allowed to be.
Oh, yeah.
Real sticklers for it. It's like, oh, I'm going to go into that women's bathroom and do some rape. And then the friend says, but you're not legally a woman in the eyes of the law. And it's like, ah, that's true.
In the eyes of the law and the eyes of the Lord.
The eyes of the law and the Lord,
like,
yeah.
J.K. Rowling is the epitome of that Onion headline, which is educated bigot that bit more terrifying.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally, totally. And it's that thing that's been cropping up a lot for me lately where... Because she's able to kind of politely and eloquently articulate her hatred, it both seems more legitimate to people who don't fucking know anything about it, and also kind of means that you have to approach her on that level, because if you approach her on any level that's less quote-unquote civil, then it's like, well, you're not participating in that. You're being antisocial. You're trying to, like, undermine the discourse by being hateful.
And
it's, yeah, and it's that thing where it's like, the reason why Twitter is mad at you is, like, the reason why everyone's being uncivil is just because, like, we know what comes after someone says things like that, and what comes after that is, you know, things like the murder of two black trans women in the last week.
Yeah.
Whose names are Rhea Milton and Dominique Fells. And it's things like Tony McDade, who is a black trans man, being murdered by police. There's a very real consequence to the things that she says.
Yeah, and I think as well Sarah Zedd made a really great video about all of this and, like, makes a lot of really great points in it, but one of the ones that really struck me was the idea that, like, if you're just scrolling Twitter and you come across a tweet like that and you spend 10 seconds reading it and you're like, you know what, I do agree, and then the actual factual inaccuracies of what she's saying take someone like Sarah Zedd, you know,
a fucking hour,
like an hour to research and then like 6 minutes to explain in a thorough, well-sourced way. And it's that, you know, it's that bevy of misinformation that just exhausts fact-checking, when what it could boil down to is you're wrong, but then everyone's like, ah, but you're part of the discourse now. Show me some sources. Like, it's like a way of exhausting people who are already exhausted.
And, you know, she's got plenty of time to spend writing 3,600 word pieces about hating the trans. Words? It's something like 3,500. Yeah. But she's got that time because she's rich as fuck. Like, can you not see that regardless of, you know, history? And I appreciate that in the piece that she wrote, she talks about the fact that she is a survivor of abuse and assault. She talks about it in an effort to justify why she thinks trans women being in women's bathrooms is gross, but it is a thing. But, like, regardless of that history, regardless of any of that, it's like, how do you not realize that you are no longer the victim or the marginalized person or the oppressed person? Like you live in a castle.
Mm.
She lives in a castle, Tansy.
You don't see Enya doing any of this shit, and Enya lives in a castle.
Welcome to Pitch Shift. We are an Enya fan cast.
If anyone's in Melbourne, there's some great graffiti along the Merri Creek bike trail that just says, "I'd rather be crying to
Enya."
When
you sent that picture to me, I was like, Tansy could well have written this herself.
I mean, I could have. So.
Yeah, so I'm gonna get into the pitch now, but what I wanted to say is that I know we have a relatively small audience.
Most of whom they all probably get on our stuff level already. Yeah.
Yeah, but like it felt necessary for me to say some things. Mm. I mean, just writing out what I thought about this took up like 14 pages. So you know, that's me on this for now. Mm. But you know, thank you for letting me talk about this, Tansy. Mm. And thank you to all of you who are hopefully listening to this. Mm. And we can now return to our regularly scheduled programming of jokes and movies and
jokes
fun times.
And movies.
Haha.
Do you want a Del Toro quest before we jump into
this? I sure do want a Del Toro quest.
Yeah, if you're not a regular Detour listening request. To the podcast, I will frequently derail conversations to talk about the best children's series in existence, Del Toro Quest.
Are there trans in Del Toro?
Well, I have a theory that one of the lead, like, she only really shows up in the third series, but she reads as real trans. So if anyone's listening,
yes.
Lyndall is trans. But also they have, speaking of Ichabogs, they have a monster called Ichabod. And every time I saw it, I was like, Emily Rodda, or whatever your actual name is, sue this bitch. Because her monster that eats children will have nothing on this guy who convinced all of his brothers and sisters to kill each other so that he could eat more people. Like, what a king.
Tasty.
Self-care king.
That's a tasty origin story.
There's a whole bit in Del Toro Quest where they've been captured by all these monsters. And then they're like, what if we challenge them with maths? There's 11 monsters and 3 of us, and you can't evenly divide 3 meals into 11 pieces.
And then King they're like, Solomon shows up like,
and then they're legit like, but Jasmine's smaller. If you cut Jasmine in half, like, that's a third of Barda. What I'm saying is Harry Potter should have learnt maths, because then he could fight villains with it.
Yeah.
Like the true iconic kings and queens.
They have math magic. You know, they have arithmancy.
I imagine that's what all the magic drug dealers do, so they know how to, like, divide magic drugs with weights and monies.
But it's that thing where, like, that's like an elective.
Mm.
Like, you don't have to do magic maths. And it's not even real maths. So I'm like, how do all these people go on to, because, like, you either own a small business or you work for the government, but, like,
but
all people go into a small business.
Maths.
How do you know how to balance your fucking checkbook?
Yeah, and just,
and
like
the kids who have, like, wizard families, they don't have, like, a wizard elementary school.
No, they do not.
They don't go to wizard primary school. When do they learn how to count?
They don't. Wizards are dumb as fuck. And, like, as a former boarding school student, Hogwarts does not function as a boarding school. Like, it just does not work. But anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, we are about to get into this, because I don't think I've yet mentioned I am pitching a Harry Potter pitch today, guys.
Yes.
That's what I'm doing.
And so what...
Despite how much ribbing I gave Tansy for pitching a Harry Potter movie.
At least
I am
you're
here to pitch
admitting
a Harry Potter, Harry
that you're
Potter
doing
movie.
It. Because I was like, I'm not going to tell you I'm pitching a Harry Potter movie right up until the point when it's like, oh, this is in the Harry Potter universe, by the way.
Yeah. You know, you made me guess. Whereas I was like, J.K. Rowling sucks. I got to talk about trans Remus Lupin. And you were like, that sounds good.
So how this podcast works is Charlie's going to pitch his vision for this movie. And I'm going to act like a producer. I'll ask the odd question. I might throw in suggestions depending on whether I think I can add anything. But yeah, it's just a chill good time where we respect pronouns and pitch fun movies. So
it is.
So
it is,
it's a new round here.
Time.
Stick around.
And I'm definitely not going to get upset at all for the rest of this podcast.
If you're a big Harry Potter fan, maybe after this episode, check out the two parts of See You Again.
See You Again 1 and See You Again, again 2. Seeing You 2 again.
See 2, Sue Furious.
2 See 2 You Again.
2 See 2 All the Boys I've Loved Before.
It's See You Again and then the second one is called Now You Don't.
Okay.
All right.
Should we pitch this movie?
All right. Yes. So, just a little bit more context before I get into this. So growing up on these books and films, one of the characters that I really identified with was Remus Lupin, who is a werewolf, who, mm-hmm. according to Jowling, Howling, Growling, the werewolves are an allegory for HIV/AIDS, which is hilarious when you consider that most of them are predators who want to infect children.
Oh boy, that is a take to make.
Yeah, it's quite the take. You know,
you
I mean,
can
coming
take
from the writer
out with the trash.
Rita Manhand Skeeter, can you expect anything better? But so I wanted to take the fact that as a fellow shapeshifter of gender, not of magical beastliness, I wanted to take my fictional queer trans icon Remus Lupin and kind of
give him
use
the
that
respect
to piss J.K. Rowling
off.
Yeah, to give him the origin he deserves, to give him the justice that the books and the films never ever gave him, to stick it to JK, but also to make myself feel better because I've been really sad thinking about all this week. So, prologue. We open on Lyle and Hope Lupin. Warner Brothers isn't gonna... Warner Brothers isn't fucking making this shit.
Well, look, we can...
They'd be like, gracious, we can't make a ride out of gender transition.
Welcome to the gender coaster. You
Welcome
go on
to
one
the
gender.
Hogwarts trains
you come
gender.
Out another gender.
Yeah, so Lupin's parents apparently in canon are Lyle and Hope. Hope Howell Lupin.
I thought that like Remus Lupin's dad's name was somehow Moon Moon. Was that a thing or did I imagine that?
No, Remus Lupin's name is Moon Moon.
Oh, his
well, actually,
name's...
it's Wolf Wolf.
Yeah, Moon Moon.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it was kind of retconned, but apparently his name is Lyle, and his mother's name is Hope Howell. Subtlety. So we've got the two of them sitting in Dumbledore's office, and they're kind of making an impassioned plea, sort of saying, you know, we know it's not done. We know that, you know, she's different. We know that she's not had a conventional upbringing, but, you know, we'll do whatever it takes to get our beautiful daughter the education she deserves. Through this, we learn about the backstory, which is that Lyle dissed known predatory werewolf man Fenrir Greyback, and the Greyback bit their kid in retaliation. So they're kind of like, it's not her fault that she got the bite. They never say werewolf, importantly. And, you know, we know, and she's a little bit strange, you know, but we like to, because she's been so sick, we like to let her dress in a way that makes her feel comfortable. You know, it's the whole thing seems to have affected her self-esteem, blah, 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 blah. And Dumbledore's like, yep, cool. Yeah, I hear everything you're saying. I understand your daughter also wants to speak directly with me. And they're like, yes, she did want to make her case to you herself.
And also, does this Dumbledore have like the chaotic dumbass energy of like early Dumbledore when it's like, I'd like to say a few words, calculations, nitwit, have a good evening.
Exactly that, like Dumbledore from the early books, but probably being played by Jude Law in old age makeup. Like,
hot.
I want Jude Law to play how Dumbledore's meant to be, as opposed to just being like, I was in love with Wizard Hitler. Damn.
Chaotic,
he's so
chaotic
good.
Gay is really
he's such a good
what
actor, and then
do.
They made him do just the most boring... Anyway, So yeah, he's kind of he's very much like a little like a Yoda-esque
trash
chaos merchant. He's basically see Dumbledore as Yoda meets Dean Pelton from Community.
Continue.
Chaotic, gay, not actually in control, but seems very wise.
Yeah, that's such a mood.
Yeah, so Dumbledore's like, right, okay, well, you know, send her in. The doors burst open and enter Callista Lupin, whose name is Moonwolf. Because Callista's, and Remus, this is Remus, at this point is a tiny little 10-year-old in a vest and tie, like baby John Mulaney bringing a briefcase to third grade.
Baby
that
Mulaney.
Kind of, and is just kind of silently walks in and is like, you can leave now, parents.
Leave now,
and they're
mother.
Like, right, we'll let you talk, and like kind of saying to Dumbledore, like, please be gentle. And so Callista sits down and Dumbledore's like, hello, Miss Lupin. It's Callista, isn't it? And he says no. And Dumbledore's like, I'm sorry. And so basically, you know, this child says to him, my parents don't believe me, but I'm a boy. I know I wasn't born one, and I know they think I'm being weird because of the werewolf thing, but like, I know it. And he's like, how did you come to this conclusion? And the child kind of says, you know, it's the same way that I knew I was magic. You know, same way that I knew that I could use magic, same way that I can tell if there's a rabbit 5 miles away when I'm a wolf, you know, I just know. And then there's a pause. And then he goes, not that I'm going to kill rabbits while I'm here. I promise you, I'm not going to kill any rabbit. I won't kill anyone's, I won't kill a cat, I won't kill a rat, I promise. And Dumbledore's kind of like, okay, So this is unusual. And kind of explains, you know, adult wizards and witches have the ability to change their appearance to look like anyone or anything that they please. You know, that's good. And the child is like, no, it's not about how I look. Look, it's not about that. It's look, I just want to ask you, please let me enroll as a boy. And maybe don't tell my parents because they would freak out. Dumbledore was like, well, honestly, look, I'll level with you. I don't really have a lot of control as to what goes on around here. And the child is like, huh?
Castle's haunted.
And Dumbledore's like, so the castle really is the boss here. And the child says, but can you guarantee that I'll be able to live with the boys? Dumbledore's like, well, that really is up to the castle. It's like, but can you not tell the castle what to do? Oh, Merlin's beard, no. Oh, no, the castle does as it pleases. And it's like, can you at least then let me enroll under a different name, please? I can't bear to walk in to school and have everyone think that my name is Callista. And so Dumbledore is like, okay, well, I mean, you're already keeping one very big secret. I guess what's one more to add to that? What name would you like to be enrolled as? And the child looks him right in the eye and says, Remus. And Dumbledore kind of pauses a moment and is like, you named yourself
Moon.
Wolf?
Yeah.
And Remus is like, yeah. And then we cut to black, we get the title of the film. Boom, needle drop on, not on the song, but rather on Rebel Rebel by David Bowie. So yeah, so now we get our first day at Hogwarts. We meet the Marauders. I don't have young actors. Like, I don't have cast for the young versions of them.
Child actors are dime a dozen.
Yeah.
Some of them are even good.
A beautiful, adorable little 12 or 13-year-old trans child. And everyone will be like, that's the most perfect child in the whole wide world. And it will be, that would be
true. Perfect boy.
So we kind of rush through the sorting and the introduction to the castle and blah, 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 blah. Oh my God, it's the Marauders.
Look at all these boys in a dorm.
Yeah. So they're all in the common room. The prefect are like, you know, please don't try to sneak into the other dorm. The castle is very smart. It will know. And Remus is like, oh shit.
Oh no.
That's fucking. And so he sits kind of waiting up until everyone's gone upstairs, and he's kind of like, oh fuck, where are my bags gonna be? A young redhead girl comes down with his bags and kind of puts them next to him, like, I think these are yours. It's Lily. Oh my god, all our faves are here.
Oh wow.
And he's like, oh god, I guess that means I know what's coming. So he tries to go up the stairs to the boys, and it turns into a slide. Which is a thing that I'm pretty sure it does in the books at some point.
Do you want the boring nerd thing?
Yeah, chuck it.
So I'm pretty sure, and I remember this because I was like, that's infuriating, that the castle turns into a slide if you're a boy trying to go into the girls' dorm, but it's fine with girls going into the boys' dorm.
She was always a TERF.
Yeah, and look, as someone who went to a boarding school where, like, no matter what, you were in the wrong dorm, you're got a suspension. I was like, if there was a proviso that was like, but girls can go into the guys' dorms, there'd be so many more pregnancies at this boarding school.
There's already too many. Need a second to process the fact that all the way back in the 90s, mm-hmm. when she was still writing books for children, she was like, we don't want men trying to sneak into women's space, like, already.
But then also, I feel like the prefect's bathroom is non-gendered. Like, I just don't know. I just don't know with this woman.
Well, the prefects are prefect. But so, okay, so I'm choosing to ignore that that's the way that she's done it. And
I do not see both sets
of stairs are like, no. Mm-hmm. And then, so he's kind of like, oh, fuck, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Am I going to have to sleep downstairs? Sirius comes down and is like, oh, hey, dude, we're all up there. Are you coming? And so for this first time, when he goes up with Remus, it seems to work. But, like, I don't know, the stairs try to, like, bite his ankles or something on his way up.
Yeah.
So he's made it for now. Mm-hmm. And he goes to his bed, his new bed, and he kind of is like, okay, we're here, we're good. Cut to first day of lessons. I'm introducing a new teacher who teaches the compulsory Muggle studies subject, whose name is Professor Galbraith.
Oh, wow. Where'd you get that name from?
I don't know. These just, they come to me. Mm. And she has a lot of very reactionary views about blood purity and also, as such, the gays. So they're starting very much on like, whoa, this is not what we were expecting. This is not what we wanted from Wizard High School. What the hell? And I'm going to skip through a lot of these, like just kind of like list some of these scenes because they're scenes I want to get into in detail. Mm-hmm. We get a scene where Dumbledore explains the Shrieking Shack thing. He's like, I got you a house.
Just hide out in this haunted house when you're being a werewolf.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Tiny Remus is just like, are you fucking kidding me?
Like, will I have adult supervision? He's like, oh God, no. But there's also, because I think there's something where it's like he gets brought there by like a nurse and then the nurse like leaves him there for the night that he needs to, you know, do his wolfy thing. Mm. And he's just being told by everyone, it's like, you are very dangerous when you are a wolf. So we have to do this. And he's like, yes, I am very dangerous when I am a wolf. Mm-hmm. Okay. And also because of that, like no one's ever been present for him being
a wolf. Yeah,
a wolf. No one's ever seen that.
He's never injured anyone. He has no idea what he even looks like. You're dangerous. As a wolf. Yeah.
Yep. So we get all that kind of establishing information, and then we get back to the stair wars. So basically we get like a montage of him and the stairs, night after night, kind of squaring off. You know, and he tries like parkouring up the staircase. Kind of trying to like, you know, levitate himself or like ride a broomstick up, and each time the stairs find some kind of way to like, you know, they all of a sudden they're boiling hot or they grow spikes. Mm-hmm. And it almost feels like it's turning into a fun rivalry, mm-hmm. but at the same time he's increasingly exhausted all the way through his first year, because not only does he have to have his wolf times alone, mm-hmm. but he's also half the time not fighting getting out of sleep staircase. Or sleeping on the couch downstairs, and it's like, I fell asleep while I was studying, and everyone's like, dude, why are you studying so much? And through that we kind of get like, I feel like you skip very quickly to like the start of the second year, and it's like, oh, you know, like everyone's like really excited to be back, and he's like dreading it because it's like, oh God, I'm gonna have to deal with all of this again.
But wouldn't he like sort of be glad to be back if he's still like, is he still living at his parents under his old name? Or
it's a combination of like, oh, it's good to be where everybody knows my name
and my pronouns,
but also at the same time it's like, I gotta deal with these literal gatekeeper stairs. And like, so he's kind of getting real angry about it now, on top of which his friends have started to notice that his quote-unquote illnesses and absences are pretty regular, right on once a month,
right on even. That full moon,
says James. truly the dumb jock,
truly the he-himbo.
Yeah, he is the he-himbo. And so the next thing that we get is like, you know, we've seen the other three marauders, Sirius, James, and Peter, kind of like whispering and like, you know, we got to talk to him about it.
Yeah.
So basically, So his friends kind of come to him and it's like, Remus, we need to talk. And he's like, oh shit, oh no. And so it's like, James is like, look, Remus. Actually, no, it wouldn't be James. It would be Sirius, because Sirius has more emotional intelligence. Yeah. James is a dumb bitch. Mm-hmm. Sirius is like, look, we've noticed that, you know, we like, you never get changed in front of us, and you always, you know, you disappear once a month and you're sick once a month and you come back really pale and, like, you know, like, we, you know, you're very guarded and we don't really know anything about you, you know, like, we're, like, we know, Remus, like, you can tell us. And he's like, oh, Jesus, okay. You guys know I'm a werewolf? And they're like, you're a what? And he's like, what? And they're like, wait, what? And it's like, you're a werewolf? Since when did... And he's like, well, what did you guys think it was? And it's like, we thought that it was, you know, that you're like a girl. And he's like, oh.
Oh, that other thing.
I mean, And so they have this very confusing conversation where he's like, yes, but no. But look, it... I... And it basically kind of amounts to, like, yes, I was born a girl. Yes, I am a werewolf. I also am a boy. And, you know, like, James would kind of leap on the idea that the two were linked. And he's like, right, got it. So you're turned into a boy. And Remus is like, sure. But, yeah. the upshot of it is that... So, and, like, I feel like one of them is, like, I just need to... Like, do you have peen, though? And Remus is like, okay, well, so what it actually is, and James very quickly realizes that he's like, no, I don't want to know, I don't want to know, I don't want
to
know.
This is not a thing that we need to discuss.
Don't tell me, bro. Like, whoa, pause. And, like, Sirius has, like, a zillion questions, because Sirius is a beautiful little queer baby who has expressed his rebellion against his very blood purity obsessed family by, like, just learning a lot about Muggle culture in the form of, like, you know, he's just always going on about David Bowie or whatever. And so he has a zillion questions of, like, I kind of know a little bit about this, but I want to know, tell me everything. When did you know? How did you find out? What am I going to... And then, you know, eventually Remus is kind of like, you know, Peter, do you have anything to add? And Peter's just kind of like, whatever, man, I'm just really stoked to have friends.
I'm chuffed to be part of
the group. I don't care what you are. You could be a spider and it'd just be, like, real chill that you talk to me. I'm so fucking... I don't know what I'm doing. And so the kind of conclusion of that moment is that... So they've had that conversation and it's like, all right, let's all go up to bed. But he's like, wait. I got to do something first. And he goes up to the stairs and he's like, you listen here, you fucking shitty fucking... stairs, like, and just goes on a fat rant, is like, look, I have been, I just, surely at this point, I'm not a girl trying to break into the boys, like, why would I keep trying if I weren't, like, and so it kind of basically, like, has it out, gets all of his feels out, and then the stairs, like, there's kind of a moment, and the stairs then kind of, like, roll out a little red carpet all the way down, like, to his feet, almost like the stairs are like, sorry.
Can they roll down a red carpet and then, like, a panel in the wall opens and there's just a little, like, it's a boy balloon.
Yes. That's hilarious. Yes, absolutely something like that. Mm. Or like a little sorry banner drops down. Yeah. Like,
just a little sorry, you know, like, we misgendered you with a bit of,
like,
confetti.
Like an olive branch is extended from the like arm of the banister or whatever.
Yeah.
So then we get a montage of the castle kind of now, like, having Remus's back. And maybe we get our first instance of I was a teenage anarchist here.
Yeah.
The castle now has Remus's back and is always just kind of like, you got it, dude. Like, you know, say, give it him a boost when he can't. Like, if he, like, because he's a short little boy, man. Like, the castle will, like, give him a boost when he needs to see over something, or, like, create a secret extra bathroom around the corner when he needs to get changed or whatever. Like, you know, just kind of, like, randomly a bit of wall will fall down right when he needs to get changed after whatever the equivalent of gym class is. I guess, yeah. It's brooms, isn't it?
I guess.
They do broom class. With Madame Hooch, who is a super rad lesbian.
Who's still Zoe Wanamaker.
Yeah, and then so we get kind of our final scene in this. So this is the end of their second year now, and we get a little scene. All four of them are hanging out at the Potter family home during their summer break. Before third year, we get a little scene of Sirius and Remus just kind of sitting together, and Sirius is oddly serious, and Remus is like, "What's going on?" And Sirius is like, "So, I'm gay. I like the boys. I'm into the boys." And Remus is kind of like, okay, cool. Could you pass me my sandwich? And Sirius like gets the sulks. And it's like, and like Remus is kind of like, what? What did I say? And it's like, you didn't react properly. You know, like you were supposed to, like, I don't know, like be like excited or whatever. And Remus is like, I mean, do you want me to be surprised? Like, all you do is talk about that guy David Bowie, and like, you know, like all those cool like those cool singer guys that wear dresses and stuff like that. And like, you know that I also like boys and girls, but also boys. Sirius just, it's just this completely inexplicable reaction of like, you were not cool with it in the exact way that I wanted you to be. And like, he's also kind of still kind of holding this thing where it's like, you never actually you never told me, like I had to figure it out and come to you about the fact that you're and he's like, yeah, because I couldn't tell anyone any of that, but like, you know that you were the first person at school that I really actually like trusted, because you know, when we first got to school, everyone kept being like, oh yeah, there's that Sirius kid. Is that a boy or a girl? Like, look at the long hair, blah, blah, blah. And you just like laugh it off and you didn't care. And that was like, you know, that was like why I wanted to be your friend. And Sirius is like, okay, oh, still friends, bro. You my well, bro. And then, you know, kind of discussing like, oh, you know, maybe we'll be actually be able to like hang out during your wolf times this year, maybe. And Remus is like, no, but they keep saying I'm dangerous. You know, and as Sirius is like, do you think you're dangerous? He's like, I don't know. I mean, I always like when I'm a wolf, I always want to like hunt or whatever. But I don't think if I saw someone that I cared about, I'd want to hunt them. Like, it just doesn't. I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
And at that very moment, then James and Peter come up like, guys, have you heard about animaguses? And then we kind of get that's our kind of
end of childhood.
Yeah, kind of end of childhood. Yeah, the structure of this is a little bit weird because this is just, it's just endless id flowing out of me. So part two begins with, it's like third year, fourth year,
so you whenever. Stop and you go and get a drink, or maybe you come back the next night if you're seeing it in the theatre on like a Tuesday, Wednesday. And
yeah. Yeah, this is a long movie, but like, when has a Harry Potter film not been stupidly long? Yeah, the second kind of act of it kind of begins, it's like third year or fourth year or whatever, Remus wakes up one morning and there's blood in his sheets because of, you know, the reason why any young trans boy might find that to be the case.
What one might call a person who menstruates.
Oh yes, what are those people who menstruate called? What is it again?
Werewolves.
What is it? Wombans? Whimpen? We're doing a riff on a thing that J.K. Rowling said.
If you've been lucky enough to avoid that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who's listening to this that isn't aware that that's a thing? But yeah. So yeah, he's like, oh shit, it's my period. And he just kind of lies back down and just stares at the ceiling for a bit. And is just like, it's not happening, it's not happening, it's not happening, it's not happening. James then like tries to stick his head into the, because you know how the beds have the curtains?
Yeah.
Tries to stick his head in the curtains to be like, wake up, fuckers! And Remus is like, oh my god, a little bit of privacy. James is like, fine, you know, don't get your titties in a twist. Which, and like, Remus kind of gets halfway through saying, yeah, you know, I really hate it when you say that, but is interrupted because Sirius punches James in the arm. Just, and it's very much it's a normal day.
I can't believe you've done that.
Oh, fuck. I can't believe you've done this.
That's the actor who plays young James. Actually, if I were making this Harry Potter prequel extended universe, I would want James Potter to be played by Dev Patel like young adult kind of part. Because Harry Potter was biracial. Sorry about it. Yeah, so it's like in most ways it seems to be a normal day, only everything is terrible and the worst thing that could possibly happen to Remus has happened. Because he thought maybe he wouldn't have to deal with this. You know, maybe because his body's all jacked up from the wolf thing, that maybe he wouldn't have to deal with this. So we get like a hard cut to sitting in the infirmary and we're introduced to a new nurse character. Who's like, hello, you know, I'm Professor, Fixie Bonies assistant.
I don't like
you know how, you know how they all have fucking names, but it's just like, this is what I am. But she's like, I'm the new kind of nursing assistant. My name's Madame Pomfrey. and we're like, oh. But she's like, and you're the one who and he's like, turns into a wolf, and she's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, that's me. So she's kind of asking, like, are you injured? I didn't think it was close to the full moon. Like, what's going on? He's like, no, it's just that I have, blood coming out of me. And she's like, oh God, have you cut yourself? Like, what happened? He's like, no, it's a really like painfully awkward thing if he can't put the words to it, but mm-hmm. he kind of stumbles through like
getting the
explaining
info
around
there.
It. And she kind of understands yeah. and is like, right. Okay. And is very much like, not like, doesn't like kind of, oh no, about it. And isn't like overly shocked about it.
Is a chill practical nurse about it.
Yeah, yeah. It just kind of asks, like, have you, I assume you cleaned yourself up. You know, this is all perfectly natural. Just let me go get the, and like, I figure that like, you know, because the Wizarding World is so fucking backwards
regressive.
Culturally.
Yeah.
They're always like 15 years behind the regular world. That they're still using like magical rags that clean themselves until you're old enough to use a wizard contraceptive potion or whatever. I fucking hate wizards.
Yeah.
So she's like, yep, cool. Let me go get the stuff. Let me teach you how to use it. She comes back to find that he's just sobbing because he didn't expect someone to be nice to him in that moment. And she's like, okay, look, don't worry about this. Like, I've seen all sorts of bodies before. Like, it's fine. Mm. And he's kind of like, where do you, and she basically like, she like alludes to training that she had at, I guess, the St. Mungo's medical school.
Weird that the wizards have saints.
Yeah, I know, isn't it?
Like, it, I know really they have is. Christmas, and I always assumed that was more of a cultural thing as opposed yeah. to, like, an active Christmas, but that they still yeah. do saints?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Because I guess there's some, like, some saints that actually were, like, maybe, like, St. Mungo's, like, a real world saint, but they're all like, well, we know that all the saints were actually just witches and wizards. I don't know. Who cares? But, yeah, so basically she describes what we would understand to be, like a kind of a black market for surgical intervention for magical trans people. And this is the first time he's ever heard of like other people like him. And it's like, what? Oh my God. And so later in the day, he's grumpy and he's in pain and he's pale, and it's fully a week till the full moon. Like, what gives, Mooney?
Why are you
so fucking glum
time?
Today? Like, you've been a real cranky toad right now, Remus. And he's like, just leave me alone. And at this point, we have Lily come back again, and she just kind of surreptitiously, like, slips him a hot water bottle or whatever, and he's mortified. Because he's like, how does she know? Like, just, it's just kind of that, it's like a really sweet thing, and she's like, got your back, bud. But he's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Later that night in the dorm, he's like, okay, who fucking told James? Did you tell her? Like, did you tell, and James is kind of sarcastically like, oh, I'm sorry, was it meant to be a secret? Oh, no. And, like, so, Remus is like, so you did tell her. It's like, no, she worked it out, you idiot. Like, she's really smart. Like, have you ever noticed how Lily's, like, really, really smart? And it's like, focus, James. He's like, no, I didn't tell her. She just, like, worked it out. And he's like, so she worked out that, like, that I'm a transsexual. And then James is like, what? No, she worked out that you're a werewolf. And Remus is like, what? And everyone's like, what?
What?
And Remus is kind of like, but she gave me a hot water bottle.
Yeah, why would she give a werewolf a hot water bottle?
Yeah, well, this is just a revelation that Lily's actually way smarter than anyone thinks that she is, that she's just really with it. And yeah, it's like, she gave me a hot water bottle because she knew that, and the boys are all like, knew what? And so then we have to get into the whole, like, well, I got my period today. And they're all like, what? And, like, I feel like James keeps being the voice of, like, dumb, naive, I love you, but I don't get it kind of thing. So he's like, wait, but so you are a girl? And it's like, no, I'm still, it's, like my body is, yes, but I was born a, but, like, it's not like that. And so he kind of is like, right, I get it. It's like, you're a boy when you're a wolf because you, like, got bitten by a man who's a wolf. So you want to be a boy all the time, not just when you're a wolf. And Remus is like, no, like, I'm a boy as a wolf because I'm a boy all the time. Like, this isn't related to the wolf thing. Like, this is just, these are two things that are me. And, like, it turns into a whole thing where Sirius is like, yeah, James, like, you don't fucking get it. And, like, Peter's like, you know how dialogue works. You know, like, dialogue.
Yeah.
And basically kind of, like, like, kind of ends with Remus kind of being like, I know you don't understand how this works, and, like, neither do I really, but, like, I don't need you to understand. I just, like, need you to be my friend, and if you can't do that, then, like, you need to tell me now so I can maybe just, like, move into the Shrieking Shack full-time to sleep or something. And, of course, they make up and everyone's fine. Yeah, James is kind of like, no, of course I can do that. Of course I can just, no, of course. I didn't mean to make it seem like I wasn't, like, I love you, you know? And then, and they all cry. They all have a big boy cry.
Big boys. The boys cry, having a cry.
Big old team huddle, you know, the presumably Sirius interrupts by being like, this is super gay, you guys. And they're all like, oh, Sirius, you big gay. Meanwhile. At the same time, Professor McGonagall and Professor Galbraith both burst into Dumbledore's office at the same time. Like, what the hell have I just heard? I just heard the most outrageous thing. And Dumbledore's like, I can explain. And there's a silence. And they're like,
and then Dumbledore's just like, I thought you'd keep talking.
That's a joke that I just straight up stole from Community. But Galbraith is like, I have just heard that you have a girl in the boys, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, like, basically Galbraith is there to echo a bunch of dumbass J.K. Rowling talking points about, like, you know, who knows what the boys might do if they find out that all you have to do is tell the castle that you're a girl and you can just sneak up to where the girls are all sleeping and bathing. Like, yeah. And, like, Dumbledore, who's, you know, conflict avoidant, homosexual as he is like, no, I can assure you the castle has better judgment than that, and you know, Remus poses no threat to anyone, blah, blah, blah. I do believe he's actually one of your best students, and that, you know, every teacher he has nothing but good things to say about, and she's like, you let this she-wolf into the castle, and that's one thing, but to not only, like, cover that up, but you're also just going to decide that she can go wherever she wants. It's like, the school board's going to hear about this, you know. I will not, you know, she's concerned about women and girls. She's concerned about women and girls. J.K. Rowling's always talking about women and girls, and it's like, shut up.
Yeah.
Stop using your concern to throw hate at people. And so she storms out. Yeah. And Dumbledore turns to McGonagall's and is like, I guess you want to have it out at me over this too? And she's like, I sure do. I really wish you'd told me that the poor kid was dealing with all of this.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I told you that he's a werewolf. And it's like, I mean, the other thing, Albus, you dumb bitch. Like, McGonagall's just, like, foul-mouthed, rad Scottish lady.
Mm.
But yeah, it's like, you know, I could have helped him. I would have let him use the bathroom in my office, for fuck's sake. You know, I would have given him a separate talk when I gave all the Gryffindor girls in his year the talk. And Dumbledore's like, what do you mean the talk? And she's like, as if you don't know that we have to give them the sex talk when they're at that age. And Dumbledore's like, I'll be honest, I really don't know much of anything that goes on around here. And she's like, yeah, I'll fucking say. And you, of all people, maybe should have thought a little bit more about this. And he's like, what the fuck is that supposed to mean? And she's like, I just figured that maybe, you know, you might want our more unusual students to be safe. And he's like, right, no, I hear you. I'm surprised that you're, like, so chill with this. You know, I thought maybe you might have a problem with the whole thing. And she's basically like, look, I turned into a cat.
Yeah, I'm
and
chill.
Like, We have half giants at this school, and, like, centaurs, and, like, what are the French ones called? Vela?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the French, like, siren.
Yeah,
girls.
It's like, I've met every fucking different kind of, like, you know, quote-unquote half-breed monster, whatever. You know, I came from the Muggle world. Women weren't allowed to be anything. And then as a little girl, I found out that there was magic, and that, you know, all kinds of strange and wonderful things were possible. And, you know, I know I'm old, but I just feel like this new world of ours feels really tired if we can't conceive of a
people.
Child that might feel the way that he feels.
Yeah.
And Dumbledore's like, oh, shit, you're right. And then is kind of like, hey, can you run after? And Minerva's like, bitch, I'm on it. And runs after Professor Galbraith and basically, you know, threatens her in a badass old lady way and is like, if you breathe a word, if you even fucking look at that hospital. And next day of classes, you know, Galbraith just won't acknowledge Remus. And he's kind of like, oh God, what's going on with this now? Like, I don't have time to deal with this. My uterus hurts. McGonagall pulls him into her office and kind of does the whole, like, have a biscuit, Potter kind of.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, have a fucking cup of tea already. And basically kind of is like,
have an aphrodisiac, Potter.
Yes. Yes. Have an ibuprofen. Lupin. Mr. Lupin.
Have some meds.
Take this anti-inflammatory or else. But yeah, she's like, look, there are people here who don't support you, but I just want to let you know, I know everything now and I got your back. And he's kind of like, look, respectfully, Professor, most of the teachers here are barely able to contain their fear and disgust towards me. So Professor Galbraith thinking that I'm, you know, a freak and a pervert is really nothing new, ma'am. I got to protect myself. You know, it's not like, and kind of has this moment of realization where he's like, I can't just like play by the rules of this system if I want to make it through to the other side of this.
Yeah.
You know, he begins, it's the seeds of radicalness. What's the word for radicalness? What's the noun? Is it just radicalness?
Radacity.
It's the seeds of him kind of being quote unquote radicalized.
Yeah.
You know, like those scary TRAs. And so he kind of, you know, like drops the proverbial mic and struts out of McGonagall's office. And I feel like at this point we get like Personality Crisis by the New York Dolls kind of playing underneath. You're a prima ballerina on a spring afternoon. Change into a wolfman howling at the moon. Walks past Lily, you know, slaps her a quick high five because it's time for teenage anarchist transgender werewolf dreamers. End of part two. Part three.
Yeah. What age are we at this point?
Okay, so now we are like 6th years.
Yeah.
Oh no, I think they're actually 7th years now. Yeah. We're 17.
Okay.
Which is when Edge of 17 plays, yeah. The only casting that I have for it is that 17-year-old Remus is Lachlan Watson of the Sabrina TV show.
Yeah.
Because I think that they would make an absolutely perfectly adorable little
Lupin.
baby Remus.
Yeah,
I don't have any for the other, like, you know, someone who, like, Sirius would be someone who looks like Finn Wolfhard but isn't, you know, annoying like Finn Wolfhard, I guess. Yeah. So that's, we kind of jump right into the middle of their final year at school. You know, Sirius comes, like, bounding up to Remus, like, oh my god, Mooney, look what I found. And so he shows Remus this like scroll of parchment, and essentially he's found like a special secret wizards only trans zine. He's like, yeah, so Remus is like, but it would exist. There's ultra specific trans zines for everything.
Yeah,
I personally get a monthly trans zine just for Ghost Boys. Anyway, Remus is kind of like, how did you find this? And he's like, so I was asking Madame Pomfrey about all that stuff, like the stuff about all the surgeries and stuff. And Remus is like, you ask her about me? It's like, no, I ask her about, like, everything, you know, because she's, like, a cool lesbian.
She's a cool lady.
And, like, by the way, did you know that she has a cool girlfriend and her name's Rolanda? And then, you know, Peter Pettigrew kind of pops his head in and is like, wait, Rolanda, like, Madame Hooch? And Remus is like, Peter, can you shut up? And
Peter, this isn't about you.
Yeah, but also just kind of that thing where it's like, we're fully just having this conversation at the breakfast table. And Sirius is like, yeah, I mean, I don't know teachers' first names. I guess it might be her. Anyway, basically, Madame Pomfrey mentioned this person that she knew in London. And then I worked out, like, how to get in touch with them. And I was like, hey, my friend was a girl, but it's a boy now. And he's, like, super great. And, like, you know, do you have any advice for him? And Remus is like, please, for the love of God, Sirius, can you, like, speak louder? Because I don't think they can hear you over in the Slytherin table.
I don't think they can hear you on the other side of the Shrieking Shrack.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I think Hagrid missed that.
Wait, would Hagrid have been around at this point?
I don't know.
Have in that timeline.
He would, because pretty much just after he gets expelled, doesn't Dumbledore be like, let me set you up with a job?
That would be 14-year-old. That'd be so fucking weird being at school and there's like this 27-year-old and you're like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I did some crime, but they let me stay here.
I was framed for crime that I didn't do, and now I caretake.
What a weird fucking time.
I look after these grounds and I grow spiders in the forest. And it's like, oh, cool story, bruh. By the way, I'm Hagrid. And they're like, oh, cool. Anyway, I gotta go. So Sirius is like, sorry, you know, I'll keep my voice down. Inside voice, I understand. because he's like a little dog. He's like bark, bark, bark. I found trans content for you.
Yeah.
Bark, bark. Anyway, he's like, yeah. So this person, their name's Genesis P. Orridge. James pipes up like, this person's name is Porridge. And Sirius is like, can you shut up? Anyway, so they sent me this zine that they collate, and it comes out once a month. So I just like signed you up. Like, isn't that great? Like, do you love me yet? Do you love me? Are you in love with me yet? Oh my God. And Remus kind of takes it and is kind of poring over it. And then we get a little bit of a silence. And then James is like, wait, Madam Hooch is a les? And so we see, you know, Remus is kind of reading through his very first edition of Witch Bitch Weekly, which is a trans zine that absolutely does not come weekly. It comes monthly. And he's like enthralled, and it's amazing. And like, obviously a song by Throbbing Gristle would play through this scene. Mm-hmm. You may have noticed that I've decided that Genesis P. Orridge was in fact a witch. Because why wouldn't they have been?
Yeah.
And you know, you see words like anarchy and like revolution and like, you know, Janice Raymond is a cunt and like, yeah, you know, little moving erotic drawings.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, this was drawn by noted Finnish wizard Tom of Finland. You know, just cramming all the queer culture in there.
Yeah.
And then next, so that's, yeah, yeah, that's, yeah, next scene is, I guess, like, very, like, you know, real, like, Professor Snape style. Galbraith is planning some bullshit.
Also, like, is Snape around? Because he'd just be, like, that greasy boy.
Yeah. I decided that I didn't have space in this to deal with the thing where, you know, Remus is kind of, like, absolutely responsible in the kind of a bystander way for the bullying of Severus Snape.
But also, like, I don't know, Severus Snape kind of fucking sucked. Like,
yeah, he also did absolutely fucking suck.
It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you got bullied, but you also creeped on Lily for like longer than she was alive.
Yeah, and you did racism at her. You did wizard racism at her because she didn't want to date you, and like all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I just have ignored that. I'm doing this as like a, like one of those like kind of queer coming of age rom-com style. You know, like, I'm just, the only example that I can think of right now is, like, The To-Do List. Or, like, Wet Hot American Summer. Like, it's kind of got more of that tone than it does the usual Harry Potter tone.
Mm-hmm.
Very, like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, like, that kind of vibe. But, yeah, so we get Galbraith kind of, and I feel like the way that Professor Galbraith is played is she's kind of like the principal in Ferris Bueller, or, like...
Oh, yeah, like, derangedly obsessed with ruining the kids' fun.
Or the teacher in Breakfast Club, you know, any adult figure in a John Hughes.
Or Paula Hall in Hunt for the Wilder People.
Also that, yes, absolutely. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Paula Hall, that's... No Child Left Behind.
No Child Left Behind. got to protect women and girls. Women and girls. Yeah, maybe it could be that actress.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's like, and it's like she's like communicating through the head in the fireplace thingy with whoever it is that she knows on the school board, and it's like, you know, we can't just like tell the board, because then McGonagall's gonna know it was me and she's gonna turn me into a shoe, you know, but we have to dox this kid. We need to be able to prove that this thing, you know, is at the school like under false pretenses, blah blah blah, like, you know, basically they're trying to dox this pure trans child.
Yes.
Because, you know, sometimes people want to dox pure trans children.
They do. They do indeed.
So, yeah, there's that scene and we're kind of like, oh, shit's going down. Next scene, Sirius is caught making out with some hot Ravenclaw twink. And it's very much the same as, like, the plot in the sixth film where Ron and Lavender start hooking up.
And Lavender magically, like, changes races.
Yes, and Lavender magically. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's never been problematic before this. J.K. Rowling has never been problematic before this very moment that we're in right now. It has never happened that she's been bad at, you know, gender or race or ability or also anti-Semitism or.
Since we're on the Lavender Brown tear, the fact that like Cho Chang is bad enough, but the fact that Lavender Brown was non-white and had the surname Brown,
yeah,
but then became white. It's just, there's so much going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it fucking sucks. I mean, there's that, like, I still have a soft spot in my heart for a Very Potter musical. That bit in a Very Potter musical where
Cho Chang comes in and it plays really like pentatonic scale music, and then Cho Chang is like, "Hi, y'all."
Yeah, yeah, and then like Ginny tries to introduce herself like to the Asian woman on stage, and she's like, "Bitch, I ain't Cho Chang." And it's like, "That's Lavender Brown. You're so racist, Ginny. Get out of here." Like, nailed
it. It's wild that, like, if you went back in time and told little, like, 7-year-old, quite Harry Potter-obsessed Tansy, it's like, there'll be two musicals. One will have an enormous budget and J.K. Rowling will be involved. It'll go for, like, 4.5 hours. And there'll be one that's written by a bunch of stoned college students where an entire plot point will be a framed photograph of Zac Efron. One of these is good and one of these is not. Like,
yes! I'd forgotten.
The Zefron?
The Zefron. That is a nice Zefron poster.
Oh, thanks. And that's my, like, Zefron.
And trying to prove who is
who's the biggest Zefron fan. Absolutely. The Dumbledore in this should have a framed photo of Zac Efron that is never acknowledged or discussed. Yeah. It's just like a full-on like medieval like a portrait. Yes.
A portrait of like a former headmaster.
And it's Zac Efron.
And it's just Zac Efron. He'd do it too. He says yes to anything.
He'd absolutely do
it. He's in every movie. Where was I? Sirius starts dating some hot Ravenclaw twink.
That's the only house you're allowed to identify with anymore. Hot Ravenclaw twink.
Yeah. The sorting hat sorts you into hot.
I don't know. This guy, like, he's hot Ravenclaw and twink. I guess he has three rooms now.
Yeah. Oh, the houses are hot, smart.
Look, I've said it before. Nice. I've said it before, but like Hogwarts houses are over. You're now a Lisa, a Stevie, a Carol, or a Veronica.
I'm a Veronica because I'm mean and gay. Like, anyway. So it's kind of it's that thing where like everyone's like, "Whoa, what the fuck is that allowed?" Is that allowed? James is like, haha, cool. Anyway, so like then my girlfriend said, because from here on in,
Lily
he's just
would
a
totally
fucking
wife
be guy.
Like, yeah, Lily would be a part of this. Yeah.
Lily's like, can you shut up, James? Like, we're dealing with, Remus is in crisis. And James is like, why is Remus in crisis? And it's like, because Sirius is making out with that Ravenclaw twink. And Remus is like, can we please stop talking about this? And Lily's like, no.
The more
I think about it,
the fucking weirder it is that, like, they make such a big point of how Harry looks exactly like James, and then he goes and dates a redhead just like his dad. Like, it just feels like a weird thing to really emphasize that he was like, I'm a fuck someone who looks a bit like my mom.
I'm guessing that it totally has nothing to do with the fact that J.K. Rowling is herself a redhead. Yeah, so, you know, we kind of get the establishing of the fact that like I mean, it's kind of made explicit here. What we've known all along is that Remus is secretly
in love with Sirius. Oh, yeah.
Let's just go through these scenes in the order in which they happen. Remus and Dumbledore have a meeting, and it's like, sorry, we couldn't make you head boy because of, you know, and Remus is like, yeah, I remember.
Yeah,
but also,
it.
You know, with all due respect, Professor, fuck the man. I do what I want. But he is kind of set to be whatever the Hogwarts equivalent of a valedictorian is.
Like
and
the
so
ducks. We'll...
Oh, yeah, ducks. Yeah, that's what they call it, not in the States. Yeah, so he's going to need to make a speech for that. And, like, Dumbledore probably makes some kind of slightly fucked up remark about how fascinating it's been to see Remus, you know, change through his time here and blah, blah, blah. And, like, wow, like, being a werewolf made your voice deeper. That's so interesting. Or, like, what the fuck ever. You know, just very much like, really, you've proven you're a credit to...
Credit to the school.
To, you know, people like you.
Ugh.
People like you. And Remus is like, you mean like... werewolves or transsexuals? And Dumbledore's like, anyway! But Remus talks about the fact he's like, I wanted to use the speech to, like, tell everyone that I'm a werewolf. You know, that I've been the werewolf this whole time. And it's like, you know, if I can get through 7 years at Hogwarts and never hurt anyone and, like, do really well, you know, maybe that's gonna, you know, that'll surely that says something to people about how werewolves really aren't that bad. You know? Like, I was thinking that would be a really cool moment, you know? Mm-hmm. And Dumbledore's like, no.
No, boy.
No, we're not doing that. you know, there's just no, you know, no. Trust me, son.
No.
Little man, you don't want to go there. You do not want to go there. People are not going to be cool with that. And Remus kind of, like, Remus has had quite enough at this point and is like, have I not fucking proven myself, like, to you, to the school? Like, have I not proven that I'm not dangerous? I'm not a freak. Like, I'm not, like, you know, that, like, I have nothing to be ashamed of. And Dumbledore's like, no, it's not about that. Like, of course, I know that you're not dangerous, but it's just not the way things work. We don't want, like, an unnecessary panic, and you don't want parents kind of being like, oh, gosh, like, oh, there's a werewolf at the school. And, like, and, you know, if you get up and you make that speech, like, maybe people are going to think, like, being a werewolf is like, cool.
The kids are going to want a werewolf.
Yeah, the kids are going to want to, there's going to be packs of teens trying to become werewolves. And that you know, that's really like, oh shit, Dumbledore went there. And Remus is kind of like, well, what if I were to tell them that I've been a girl this whole time then? And Dumbledore's kind of like, well, that would be your choice, but I'd also encourage you to think about how that might make your colleagues feel about having spent the last, and like Remus is kind of like, okay, like, no, I've had enough of your bullshit. We're not all like you, okay? Mm-hmm. We don't all see the thing that makes us different as being a shameful mistake that we made that we need to hide and repent for the rest of our life.
Oh, wow. What and a call
yeah,
out.
Yeah, he goes there. Yeah, because I feel like it's an open secret that the Dumbledores are gay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a rumor that circulates. But that, yeah, like Dumbledore, like it's partly the fact that it turned out that he was in love with Wizard Hitler. But I feel like it's also just an internalized homophobia thing where he's like, people are not going to be okay with that. So you have to hide it forever and just pretend like you're normal.
Yeah.
And Remus is like, we're not all like that. You know, this like, and just let's loose on Dumbledore and the hoops that he's had to jump through. He's with the castle, literal hoops in my second year, sir. Literal hoops to get into my fucking room, to get to just go take a piss, like, you know, and Galbraith's breathing down my neck constantly, and like, you know, I've done all of this shit, like, you know, I refuse to accept that I am in some way a mistake. And he's like, fuck this shit, I'm out.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Good.
And then we get to, so in the Harry Potter books, we never actually see what happens at the end of the year, because some bullshit always fucking goes down. Like, yeah. We've never seen what a normal year at Hogwarts looks like
before Harry's always fucking
Harry
shit
arrived
up.
And made everything about himself.
Yeah. I'm uncomfortable when we're not about me.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, it's that thing where it's like, yeah, maybe you do have, like, a
little graduation
speech and, like, a grad ball and stuff like that. So we've got the grad ball. I feel like all of these plots, you know, if I'd had enough energy left in my soul to, like, do the third part of this, like, properly, I would have interwoven all of these. But, like, there's a grad ball. Sirius wants to take Ravenclaw Twink but is not allowed. Mm-hmm. And is like, fuck the system. Because we got a lot of fuck the system energy in here. Because I got a lot of fuck the system energy in my heart.
In you.
Yeah. And he's kind of been like hatching a plan. He's like, listen, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go dressed as a girl. And they can't, you know, they won't be able to. Because it's like, yeah, like it's a girl and a boy going to the dance together. And then he and Remus fight about that. Because it's that thing where Remus is kind of like, you know.
That's the whole thing for me, my dude. Like,
yeah, it's that thing where it's like, it's not a costume. It's not a joke. You can't just like swan in a dress because you're making a joke out of me. And Sirius is kind of unable to articulate. But also maybe I could wear, like, maybe I just want to wear a dress. Like, and also you never asked me to the prom, Remus. Like, these two fucking idiots. We get to the ball. Sirius shows up to the ball looking like absolutely fucking amazing, dressed to the nines in a dress.
Yeah.
And is like, hello, everyone. I'm coming out. Do, et cetera. Raven Twink is like, ew, what the fuck? Like, I mean, I assume at this point we have to, you know, you have to get the moment where, you know, Raven Twink calls him a tranny and kind of turns on Sirius. Which makes Sirius sad, because obviously, and then also everyone else starts, like, you know, everyone's, like, pointing and laughing at Sirius, and Sirius is like, oh, no, this plan that I had, that in my head I saw no downsides to, has suddenly backfired. Mm-hmm. Peter and James are like, hey, that's our weird friend in a dress. like, fight breaks out with Raven Twink, you know, like, Peter and James are like, I'll kill you! And so those three have to be removed because they've been just, like, fighting.
Disturbing.
And Sirius
is
kind of, you know, Sirius has been left there, left standing there just kind of, like, you know, at this point probably crying. And it's like, you know, like one of the teachers is like, you know, you have to leave as well. Like you're not dressed appropriately. Like you have to get out. Like this is not correct attire for wizards. And we haven't seen Remus at all at the ball at this point. Cause he was like, maybe I'm not going to go. Maybe I'm just like not going to show up. And then, you know, kind of you hear from off screen, he's like, but you know, excuse me, no, the lady can't leave until she's had the dance that she was owed, kind of thing. And we pan and it's Remus and he's in his beautiful dress robes and he's kind of like, may I have this dance? Like that bit in Queer as Folk where, in the American Queer as Folk, which is, you know, subpar, but, or like the episode of Glee where Kurt gets made prom queen and then Blaine is like, hey, buddy, or, you know, any of the other scenes set at school dances where queers make Charles cry buckets. And so they dance and Charles cries buckets and then they too are ejected from the function.
Yeah.
But after they've had their dance and it's like, oh my God.
I'm imagining them like slowly waltzing towards the door. It's like, no, we need to leave.
I figure what they're doing is that they're dancing increasingly fast and evasively as they're trying to get away from, like, I don't know, like, Filch. Filch is, like, following them with a broom, like, get out of here, or whatever. And, like, basically they're kind of eventually pulled out by Galbraith, who says something fucked up and ominous to Remus. Because, of course, we're gonna follow this triumph with a tragedy, aren't we? But Remus is like, I honestly don't give a flying fuck.
Take that turf shit somewhere else.
They run off together. They both run past James and Peter, and James and Peter are like, where are you going? And Remus is like, I got a thing to do. The thing is serious. And they kiss for the first time.
Cute.
And it's like, oh my God. And then, they kiss, and it's like a beautiful romantic moment. They pull apart, and Sirius is like, why didn't you tell me? And Remus is like, tell you what? And, like, he's like, why didn't you, you didn't like me. And Remus is like, I never said I didn't like you. And Sirius is like, but I told you that summer. And then you didn't say that you liked me back. And it's like, oh my God, Sirius, no, you didn't say, you said I like boys. And then you got mad at me because I was like, cool. I was 13. I didn't even want to have a body at that point. Like, what the fuck is, so, like, this whole time, like, since they were 13, Sirius has had this chip on his shoulder. Because he was like, hey, Remus, I'm gay. I like boys. And Remus didn't intuit that meant, I like you. Would you like to date me? This whole time. This idiot. I mean, they're both idiots. And then, you know, like, it's kind of, that's like that thing. It's like, well, I know now. And I'm not going to, you know, it's like blah, blah, blah. Soft focus smooches become fade to black on lit candles next to the bed or whatever, because they're 17, don't be gross.
Yeah.
Anyway, next day, like, Remus is like, holy shit, I'm the motherfucking alpha.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fucking wolf. This film does not contain ABO, it's just that he's the alpha.
also, let me use that research I did. The whole alpha wolf system thing is bullshit. It's not how it works. It's only how it works in captivity. In the wild, what you would call, like, oh, that's an alpha wolf. It's a dad. The alphas are just the parents.
It me, you dad. Yeah, he's being a total dad wolf. No, he's like, damn, I'm the most fucking powerful werewolf that ever was. Like, he's doing, like, Spider-Man 3 level, walking down the street, no fucks given kind of thing. Like, and he's, just swans into the Great Hall, like, what up, guys? Everybody enjoy the after party? I did. Sirius is, like, so unfocused, he starts, like, cutting up his tie instead of bacon. Like, and he's, like, trying to, he's like, like, fully just turns into, because they've been making fun of James for being like, hey guys, so like my girlfriend,
I'm a wife guy.
And then all of a sudden Sirius kind of is like, have you noticed how like Remus's hair is like so shiny? It's like the shiniest hair that ever, that, oh my God, like, oh my God, he like, oh my God, he's looking at me, James, what do I do? And James is like, he's your friend, what the fuck? So yeah, we get that kind of like, and we're like, oh my God, maybe it will be a happy ending. And suddenly, as the mail is coming in, we start to get, like, you know, like, leaves of parchment that are kind of dropped all the way across the Great Hall over all of the tables. And it is, of course, because you know we had to get to this moment. Much as I regret to tell you, it is copies of Remus Lupin's birth certificate.
Aww.
You know, it's his old name, and it's pictures of him as a little girl, and it's, you know, there's like disgusting, transphobic, fear-mongering language on this piece of paper about like, do you want this to be in your dormitory kind of thing? Mm-hmm. And Remus kind of like, it's a very, very like, you know, you get that like Spike Lee shot, the Spike Lee dolly shot kind of thing. Remus is like, oh God.
Oh God.
Locks eyes with Professor Galbraith, who looks very smug.
Mm.
And it's that thing where like his friends are kind of like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to like Remus, what are we going to do about this? And he's like, it's cool. It's cool. It's cool. And just totally calm, just like goes back up to his room. I feel like the castle probably helps him by like, you know, shifting some staircases around because people are trying to follow him. Mm. Again, it follows like a secret passageway that he's found. I mean, yeah, because they got that fucking Marauder's map. That's how they made the Marauder's map, because yes. The castle was on Team Remus.
Yes, Teamus.
Yes! It's canon.
It's canon.
It's canon. She told, J.K. Rowling told me.
And then she fired herself out of a cannon.
Yeah. She told me, and then she was like, by the way, I'm going to pretend to be a transphobe so you can do this sick pitch. Thanks, Jakes. Jakes. Jowling cowling. Yeah, so he and like his friends are kind of like following out after him, and it's like, what are you doing? Like, where are you going? Where are you going? He's like, look, I don't care anymore. I don't care. I'm going to the Shrieking Shack and I'm gonna hang out there till the end of the year, and then after that you guys can come join me if you want. Yeah. And they're like, but what are you gonna do? He's like, I'm just gonna, you know, like fuck it, I don't need this school, I don't need this, I don't need you. Basically, he's like, I don't need the system, man. Mm-hmm. Cause he's a teenage anarchist now.
He is.
Like, you know, he and Sirius have like a little moment. Sirius is like, I'll come with you. And it's like, don't be an idiot. You should like get your, what is it called when you graduate high school?
Your newts.
Oh yeah. No, the owls and the newts. It's like, yeah, get your newts. Cause you know, one of us is going to have a job if we're going to, you know, do this thing. And Sirius is like, yeah, we're getting married. And Remus is like, whoa, we just fucked. Yeah. And so like, you know, we see him. I feel like actually at this point we could also, because I kept forgetting that, like, I feel like throughout this he's starting to realize that he actually has a lot more control over himself as a wolf than anyone would say. Hmm. And I feel like at this point we just fully throw canon out the window, and he intentionally like wolfs out,
yeah,
you know, teen wolf style, and is like, yeah, cool, it's time to do this, I'm gonna run. And you know, we see him kind of, you know, running off into the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever the fuck. And that's the end.
He jumps on a motorbike and vroom vroom, like, fucks off.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but he fucks off in the direction of the Shrieking Shack.
Yeah.
And his friends are kind of watching him go, and like, it's like, yeah, he'll be all right, you know.
Edge of 17 plays.
Yeah, well, what plays would be...
I was a teenage anarchist. Yeah.
Looking for revolution.
Yeah.
End of film, Avengers style, Remus Lupin will return. Like... I'm probably not going to pitch it, but I know exactly what the second movie in this... It's not going to be a trilogy. Fuck trilogies. I know what the second movie
is.
It's
a duology.
And it's just Remus Lupin being a rad London trans in the 70s and 80s.
Amazing.
And Voldemort who?
He who must not be
He
named?
Who must not be anyone? That was my very, very messy pitch.
No, it's good. Slash diss track.
Everything that I have ever thought about trans Remus Lupin slash wizards being like magical people being trans, and the world of Harry Potter and how I saw my place in it as a younger person who, you know, grew up on the books.
Yeah.
And that's a big reason why that's such a messy pitch, is because that's like
all your 15
years worth of emotional growth and realizations about myself. So yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
No,
to that,
I really
Tansy.
Like it. And also it's one of those things, like, we've definitely talked about it before, but it's so rare to have a narrative about trans people that's like, A, actually written by trans people, but B, that's not like, hey, let's just like capitalize on your pain and let me like feel things as a cis person watching this and get really educated. It's like, no, what about he's a werewolf too, and everyone always thinks they're related, but they're not.
Yeah. Like, more trans fantasy, trans speculative fiction, etc.
Yeah.
Trans sci-fi. And also, yeah, no, I feel like absolutely it's a film that like cis audiences probably wouldn't like, they wouldn't get.
Or they'd, like, a lot they'd of them come out of I mean, it the, and they'd the, be like, why was he trans? Like, he yeah, didn't like, need what, to I, be trans.
Yeah, and like the kind of thing that trans people and like, you know, the good kind of allies, you know, like you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, that pat on my back. It felt so good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But no, I feel like people like that come out of a film like that and they're like, yeah. Because I'm not interested in making trans art that kind of
makes sad.
Speaks to the lowest common denominator, or like kind of is interested in justifying trans people's humanity. Because as we've seen this week, not just from J.K. Rowling, but also from, you know, countless people on Twitter and, you know, Graham Linehan, Ralph Weasley and Linehan, and also, you know, the fucking American government.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that just, it's like, there's clearly no convincing you that I'm
a person.
Like, there's no convincing you of my humanity and the fact that we are kind of, we are the same, and that I deserve all the same things that you deserve, and also that it's not a bad thing to be like me. Like, inherent in everything that J.K. Rowling said is the idea that it's like, it is bad to be trans, so we should try to stop more people from being that.
Yeah.
If you're already trans, I guess, you know, whoopee for you.
I'll
march with you if you're being discriminated against. And it's like, if,
honey.
But yeah, it's that, yeah, inherently that idea that it's like, oh, to be that is worse than to be what I am. And it's like, I'm never going to convince, you know, there's a whole group of people that we're never going to convince of that.
Mm.
So like, fuck them.
So yeah, stop trying to convince them. Yeah. Just
so they can munch butt.
Yeah. Also, like, part of me is like, I wonder what you think about this, but I think I know what you think about it. Uh-huh. If you are a writer, make a couple of your characters trans or gender diverse, and if you're like, oh no, how will that affect their story? I've got good news. They're people. Like, like, if you're like, oh, this computer programmer who's in this scene is trans, they still program computer. Like, they still just live lives and do things.
No, you don't have to be like we're all walking around constantly being trans about stuff.
Yeah,
you know, just I'm not being like trans. If I go get groceries, stuff. I'm not like I am transgenderly getting the groceries. You know, I got other fucking problems.
Yeah. So yeah, if you're right, and if you're like, oh, I don't know if I have the right perspective to be able to just write them like any other character, and.
Mm-hmm. And make do your research, that you know, do the reading, talk to
do the bare people. Minimum, but actually do it and don't use your ignorance as an excuse.
Yeah, but do use Google. Your spite for J.K. Rowling and Google.
Me let's just pouring into a pot. It's like,
let's make more diverse characters purely out of spite for J.K. Rowling.
Eye of Newton, spite for J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
If people were, you know, looking for lived experience of trans people being on the internet and wanted to, like, get an idea of how that is, where could they find some of your content, Charlie?
Oh, my content?
Your content.
Well, they could find me on Twitter. A lot of what I'm doing on Twitter at the moment is getting angry about trans rights and, you know, black trans rights and... sharing links to like places where people can make donations and all that kind of stuff, and just in general kind of being like, if they were, like, you know, I've written a lot of stuff for SBS, if you want to check any of that out.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff to say about the experience of being a
it's
trans.
It's real good.
And a lot of general screaming about films and stuff on Letterboxd, What about you, Tansy? Where can people find a cis perspective on how rad trans people are?
You can find it on my Twitter at Tansy Clipboard, where I also tweet about diversity in writers' rooms in general. And
Artemis Fowl.
And Artemis Fowl. There's a lot of tweets. You can do my quiz. If you this week were not disappointed by J.K. Rowling, but were instead disappointed by Disney Plus's Artemis Fowl train wreck, you can do my quiz to find out which baffling change from book to movie from the Artemis Fowl film you are. Which
I
were you,
got
Charlie?
Creepy room of fairy dolls.
Creepy room. Yeah. If you're going to do a meaningful, sad scene where the mentor is dying, why not just fill the room with creepy fairy dolls and never
that's
use
what I would do.
And
I
never
guess that's
use
why
that
I got
location
that
again. They never used that location again. Also, not to directly steal Gabe Bergmoser's content, which I have done before. He's very smart by his book. If you want to make a good Artemis Fowl movie, just adapt the book. Like, legit, it's got a tight three-act structure. It's got a sarcastic 20-something brown fairy lead. Like, just actually adapt the book that you are saying you're adapting.
Have you considered turning the story that you read into a film that you watch and just doing that?
Yeah. Maybe I should do an Artemis Fowl pitch. Maybe that's the niche we're going towards.
I would love that. Yeah, next week, tune in for Tansy pitching a punch-up of Artemis Fowl.
Not even a punch-up. Let's do a Juliet solo adventure. Anyway, that's me on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, and if you enjoyed this, check us a review on Apple Podcasts, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or Pocket Cast. Give us a like on Twitter or Instagram at PitchShiftPod. If you want to talk to us, we love to. And when I say if you want to talk to us, I mean me, because I'm the social media.
I respond to the official social media, but I don't partake.
But yeah, if you want to, you know, ask us a question or make a request, you know, issue a correction that we'll not give a fuck
we'll
about,
ignore.
You can email us, pitchshiftpodcast@gmail.com. Yeah, please support the trans people in your lives.
Mm-hmm.
Go to protests if you can, if there are protests near you. Defund the police, abolish the police. Fuck the prison industrial system.
And most importantly, get that mischief managed.
Yeah, manage that mischief.
That mischief of police. Oh yeah. My God, I want to write a ridiculous, like, fairy trickster police force where the head is called the mischief.
The mischief.
Hi, I'm the mischief of police.
All right, on that delightful, note, happy bye. Note, let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here.
I was gonna use the spell for apparating, but there's not a spell for that.
It's a
fucking Avada Kedavra this episode.
I'm just gonna stop the recording.
Yeah.
This podcast is recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri, Wiradjuri and Boonwurrung people. Sovereignty was never ceded, and this always was and always will be Aboriginal land.